Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. It was last Lord's Day evening that we began a short series on the dynamics of genuine faith. It was last week that we looked at faith resting. Faith resting. This evening we'll be looking at faith receiving. Faith receiving. Lord willing, the next week we'll be looking at faith feeding. And then the week following, faith working. And so as we prepare to hear God's word, let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can call upon you as your beloved children, not because by nature are we children of God. No, dear Lord, by nature we are children of wrath, even as the others. And yet by your grace and your mercy, you have freely adopted us into your family to be those who indeed have all the privileges of firstborn sons. We thank you and we praise you through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, for it is in him that we have this new standing, this new status, this new place which can never be taken away. We thank you even tonight, O God, that you hear the cries of your people. You meet our needs. You remember us for good. And so tonight, Lord, we would lift up unto you requests on behalf of ones whom we love. We pray for Ron and Nancy Downing tonight and ask that you would extend your hand of comfort, grace, and healing to both of them. We pray especially for Nancy as she is hospitalized. We do pray that you would support her and sustain her at this time, that you would take away from her any fear and anxiety, that you would restore unto her a measure of good health, that you would remind her of your promises, that, Lord, you would be the God of all comfort and grace to her in her time of need. We pray for Ron that you would recover him from his sickness and that, Lord, you would calm his heart as he is concerned for Nancy. Father, there are others in the midst of your church here who have similar needs, and we commend them all unto you tonight. Indeed, we commend ourselves unto you. We all have great needs, and only Jesus Christ can meet them. And so now as we turn to your word, we do ask that you would grant us the exercise of faith in receiving what you have to say to us tonight. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, we begin our reading in verse 32, and we'll read to chapter 11 and verse 7. And again, verse 6 of chapter 11 is our jumping off point tonight, as we remember that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Verse 32, chapter 10, God's word. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Having heard God's word, well, what is your response? Dear people of God, we tonight think again about the dynamics of genuine faith. And we want to build upon what we saw last week. Last week, looking at faith resting. Resting on who God is. Resting on what God has said. Resting on what God has promised to do in the covenant of grace through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith, though, doesn't only rest. Faith receives. And it's that tonight that we want to think about, we want to meditate upon, that faith receives. Faith receives something from God. This is a characteristic of faith, a unique characteristic of faith as God defines it biblically. Now, we can think of receiving something perhaps in two different ways. You can think about receiving a paycheck as payment for work which you have done. It is received as something which is earned. It is received as something which is owed unto you. But we can also think about receiving in a different way. We can think about receiving a free gift, something which we don't deserve, something which we have not worked for nor paid for, but something rather which is freely given unto us. Now, when we think about faith receiving, we recognize that faith doesn't work in order to receive, in order to earn, in order to, as it were, get something which is owed to it. Rather, faith receives that which is freely given, that which is given to the one who does not deserve it, that which is given to the one who actually deserves the opposite. And faith, as it is exercised, receives that which God gives freely in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." The corollary of this is that he who comes to the one true and living God in God's appointed way by faith is pleasing unto the Lord. But why? Why does faith particularly please God? Why is it that it's impossible to please God without faith? Why is it that pleasing God is dependent upon having faith? Well, let's say that we wanted to come to God to please him with something else. Let's say that you and I wanted to come to God and please him with love. With love. The natural question which arises is, how much love would be required to please him? How much love would be required to please him? Well, God tells us that you must love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. That is what would be pleasing to him if you were graded on your love. And who here measures up to that? Not one of us. Not one of us does. Indeed, we would ask, well, how much love is required to please him? How much obedience is required to please him? How much humility is required to please him? How much patience is required to please him? How much kindness is required to please him? How much rejoicing is required to please him? You see, all these other virtues, if we can call them that, speak immediately about quantity. About quantity. How much love, how much obedience, how much kindness, how much humility, how much rejoicing. But faith is not so much about quantity as it is about reality. Because faith doesn't ever look at itself to figure out how much faith I have. Faith looks away from self. Faith looks away from faith. Faith is, by definition, looking elsewhere. And faith is not about how much faith, but whether or not there is faith. Because faith doesn't offer something. Faith receives. Faith receives what God gives. And this is why God has particularly put the shining of the light of His Word upon faith as that which is pleasing to Him. It's not how much faith you have, but it's whether or not you come with empty hands to receive what only God gives. And if all you're bringing is empty hands, then you're bringing nothing but that which receives what God, in fact, gives. And so when we think then about the dynamics of a genuine faith and the dynamics of a genuine faith, including receiving, and we think about it as empty hands that are filled by what God alone freely gives. Faith lays hold on that which is given. And therefore, faith receives. Faith receives. And so we want to build on this and we want to think about this evening in two particular ways. Two particular ways in which faith receives. Faith, first of all, receives Christ. Faith receives Christ. It's in John chapter 1 that this is emphasized for us in the opening chapter of the gospel. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, we read the following, "But as many as received Him," that is Christ, "as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Faith, genuine faith, receives Christ, receives Him, receives His person as the greatest gift of all. Faith receives Christ and finds Him to be the precious gift which is given unto you. Faith receives Christ just as He is offered in the gospel. Faith receives Christ just as I am. And this is why faith is something which is delightful and pleasing in God's eyes. Because faith doesn't only rest on that which is well-pleasing to God, namely His beloved Son, but faith receives that which is most pleasing to God, His beloved Son. We are familiar with the words of John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave." Here is the gift which is to be received. But He didn't give a thing. He didn't give an idea or an ideology. He gave His Son. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We're told in John 3 and verse 36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life." And we recognize that we must receive Christ. We must receive the whole Christ. We must receive Him even as He embraces us. And this is something which is critical. It's not enough to know what God's Word says. It's not enough to be convinced that God's Word is true. We must receive Christ in the Word, through the Word, by the Spirit. We must be embraced by Him. And faith embraces Him back, receiving Him fully and freely, just as He is offered in the gospel, just as I am. This, then, is the joy of faith receiving what God gives. What do we bring to the table? Nothing but our sins. Ah, but empty hands receiving the Savior of sinners. This is the dynamic of genuine faith. Faith receiving Jesus Christ. But it's not just that we receive Christ, that faith lays hold of Him who is given and embraces Him. But faith also receives all that is in Christ. Faith receives Christ, but in receiving Christ, faith receives all that is in Christ, all of His benefits. Faith, the empty hand, being filled with all that belongs to Jesus Christ, God the Son, become true man, God and man in one person, the God-man, the only mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Faith receives Him and receives all that is in Him. Now let's just think about that for a moment. How faith needs to meditate upon all that is in Jesus Christ. Oh, faith could spend all eternity meditating upon the warmth of His embrace. No question about it. But there's more. There is more. We started out our worship service tonight with Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what? All His benefits. And then what do we have? We have the listing out of the benefits that faith receives in the covenant of grace, that faith receives in God's promised Messiah in the person of God the Son come in the flesh, the Word made flesh, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. These are the benefits which faith receives as an empty hand being filled, as being filled with Christ and everything which Christ has. Psalm 103 goes on to speak about these benefits which are founded in God's promise, His promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. His righteousness belongs to children's children, to such as keep His covenant and to those who remember His commandments to do them. Here are the benefits which are found in Jesus Christ, and faith receives them all. As we think even about our New Testament reading tonight in the book of Hebrews, think with me how faith receives God's good testimony regarding you. Faith receives God's good testimony regarding you who are trusting in Jesus Christ. What is God's testimony concerning you? If you're trusting in Jesus Christ tonight, what is his testimony concerning you? Is not his testimony concerning you as you are found in his Son, Jesus Christ? Is not his testimony the following? This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. Hebrews 11 and verse 2, for by faith the elders obtained a good testimony. That is, God's testimony concerning them. God's testimony concerning them that they belong to him and that they were heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. That's how Noah is described. He became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Abel receives a good testimony. God testifying of Abel. He obtained a testimony that God was well pleased with him. Enoch received that same good testimony. And does this not remind us of the wonderful benefit of justification that God, by his grace, speaks the word of testimony that all of your sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus and that you are accounted as righteous in his sight, having met all the demands of the law, and you therefore have a right unto everlasting life, and you being regarded and reckoned as righteous is because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to you and received by faith alone. God has made a declaration once and for all concerning you, and faith receives God's testimony concerning you and concerning me who are trusting in Jesus Christ. Oh, think of all the benefits which are found in Christ, that we have life instead of death, that we are justified instead of condemned, that we will not perish, but we will live forever, that we will not hunger, but we will be satisfied. We will not thirst, but we will have our thirst quenched. We shall not die. We shall have forgiveness of sins and all the promises of God applied to us. We shall receive the Holy Spirit as the earnest of the inheritance which Christ has indeed secured for us, that we are saved through faith, that we are counted as the children of God, adopted freely into God's family, fully justified and purified by the working of the Spirit connecting us to Christ, all received by faith. Faith receives. It is the empty hand which is indeed stretched out. We look at that hand and we say it's filthy, it's dirty, it has nothing to commend itself to God. Ah, but faith doesn't look at the empty hand. It stretches out the empty hand and looks to Christ and says, fill me, for I am empty. We don't have faith in faith. We have faith in Christ, and we receive Christ in his person as precious and all of his benefits. I'm reminded of our shorter catechism, and I do think that we should revisit it on a regular routine basis to be reminded of the foundational truths of the Word of God. But think with me, just in terms of questions 30 through 38 and how faith receives. The question is asked, how does the Spirit apply to us the redemption purchased by Christ? The Spirit applies to us the redemption purchased by Christ by working faith in us and thereby uniting us to Christ in our effectual calling. And what I want to emphasize here is the intimacy which is spoken of. Uniting us to Christ by faith. A union which can never be broken. A union which is closer than parent and child. A union which is closer than husband and wife and more intimate than husband and wife. That the Spirit of God applies to us the redemption that Jesus has accomplished by working faith in us and uniting us to Christ. He persuades and enables us to embrace Jesus Christ. There's that intimate language again. An embrace. Oh, the embrace of a husband for his wife. An embrace in love. The embrace of a wife for her husband. There's nothing more close and special in this world. The embrace of a father, a mother for son and daughter. But what is that? What are these compared to embracing Jesus Christ as He is freely offered, freely given to us in the gospel? Pardon of sin, accepted as righteous in God's sight. We are received as firstborn sons into the family of God with the double inheritance. Oh, it is only Christ who is the one who lawfully has the double inheritance, but we are in Christ. He is the firstborn and we are the ones who receive the double inheritance in Him. And it's all received by faith because justification is in Christ, adoption is in Christ, sanctification is in Christ, and we receive Him and we receive His benefits whereby we are renewed more and more in the inner man, dying to sin, living unto righteousness. The benefits of being in Christ, we receive assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, increase of grace, perseverance unto the end. And as we live by faith and as we die by faith, we realize that we receive what? We receive the gift, the benefit of, at death, our souls being made perfect in holiness, passing immediately into glory, our bodies resting in the grave, still united to Christ until the resurrection on the last day. And it's all received by faith. Faith receives. Faith receives what God gives. And what will faith receive? On the last day, oh, we will be raised up in glory at the resurrection, openly acknowledged by God and acquitted in the day of judgment and made perfectly blessed. Listen, in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. What is your view of your God? Far off, cold, or one to be enjoyed. Oh, you see, faith receives Christ in His person just as He is offered in the gospel, just as I am, and faith receives all that is in Christ. All that is in Christ. And so, Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. This is why faith is pleasing to the Lord. Because faith doesn't say, Lord, look at my faith. No, faith says, look to me, Lord, and give what only you can give and give what I desperately need. Faith receives Christ and all that is in Him. And so tonight, as we are reminded of this dynamic of how faith operates, we must be a people who are stirred up to stretch out empty hands, to do so each and every day with expectancy and confidence, knowing that what God has promised, He shall give unto those who are in Christ Jesus, in Him. In Him, embraced by Him, embracing Him, and having all that is His. And so tonight, may I challenge each one of you not to think about faith merely as knowing the facts, merely as being persuaded of the truth of the facts of God's Word. Those are necessary. They're necessary ingredients to genuine faith. You must know what God says, and you must believe that what God says is true. But you must receive what God gives. And faith knows, is persuaded, and receives. Receives that which God is pleased to give. And so, tonight, may you look again to the great promises of God that are found in Jesus Christ and be renewed in faith, strengthened in faith, indeed receiving in faith all that God has for you in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, and tonight we would ask that we would be the ones who truly grasp that we must never look to faith, but rather must look to your gift of Christ and receive Him personally, daily, that we would know we are His and He is ours. We thank you in His name. Amen.